The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 19th chapter. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. Please rise for our second Passion reading. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place, the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. These things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God.
To you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Across the street from the Illinois State Police headquarters in Springfield, there's a park with a beautiful fountain in it. There's also a large stone wall with bronze plaques on it. The plaques have names and dates on them. They are the names of those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But tonight, we come together for a story of another kind of ultimate sacrifice. Not the sacrifice for earthly freedom and against the tyranny of lawlessness, but the ultimate sacrifice for eternal freedom from death and the tyranny of sin. It's a story of what God has done for us in the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. We pick up the story on Thursday evening of Passover week. Jesus with his disciples went out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And while they were there, a band of soldiers appeared. They had come to arrest Jesus, yet Jesus went willingly with them. Jesus was led away to trial. Even though he had done nothing wrong, the Jewish leaders sought to kill him. The disciples abandoned him. Peter and John followed the soldiers, but Peter denied him, and John said nothing. The religious leaders of the people also denied Jesus. For generations, they had read the prophecies of the Old Testament promising that God would send a Messiah, and now the Savior was among them, and they sought to have him killed. They falsely accused him of a crime and brought him before the Roman governor to be sentenced to death on the cross. Even the common people denied Jesus. The Roman governor Pilate brought him before the people and offered to let Jesus go. But the crowds denied Jesus. They shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified, rejected and denied by the crowd, rejected and denied by the leaders of the people, even denied by his own disciples. If only we had been there. If only we had been there, things would have been different. If we could have been in the crowd when Pilate brought him out and asked whether to set Jesus free or the criminal Barabbas, we would have shouted, "Jesus! Jesus!" We would have said, "Let our king go." And if we could have been among the leaders of the church, we would have stopped them from even arresting and trying Jesus. We would have stood up and told them they were wrong. We would have pointed to the Word of God and told the leaders that this was the promised Savior, God's own Son. If only we could have been there among the disciples, we would not have left Jesus alone. We would not have betrayed or denied him. We would have stood up and boldly confessed our faith in Jesus. If only we had been there, things would have been different. Or would they? Or would they have been different? Would it have made any difference? We, like the people in Jesus' day, often deny him. We deny Jesus our time. We say God is important to us, but we never find time to read and study his word or to pray to him or to gather for worship. We deny him our treasures. We have so many goals in life that we have to achieve, and if we just get a little farther ahead, then we could do a little more for him. We deny the mission that he has given to us. Oh, we talk about telling the world about Jesus, but we're reluctant to even invite our neighbors to church. We're just like the people of his day, shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The hymn writer asks, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And the answer is yes. Our sins put him on the cross as surely as the nails driven through his hands and feet. But it's not the nails that held him to the cross. It's his love for us that put him on that cross. He went willingly. And when he declared, "It is finished," the purpose for which Jesus had come to earth was completed. Sin had been paid for. And because of that, God freely gives to us and to all who believe in Jesus as their Savior forgiveness for all of our sins and the promise of everlasting life with him in heaven and help and hope for our everyday lives. He was not crucified because of us. He was crucified for us. It is finished. And thanks be to God for the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for us. Amen. May the peace